I think on I never write out introductions. I should probably do that sometime. But I always trust that the Lord would just kind of give me some things. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Reading through your Bible, there's been times in there where I've laughed.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
And being as maybe last week was a little harsh. I put a lesson together on, so I titled it LOL. Lessons on Laughing. And even though we can go through scripture, and there's some various chapters in your Bible that are very serious. And I'm going to go through a couple of those. But there's also passages in your Bible, they even laughed at God's word. If you would turn with me to Genesis chapter number 17. This might be the original couple that laughed at God's word. Some of you probably know where I'm going with it. But not to get ahead of myself, I myself have also laughed at God's word. And I think it's natural, because sometimes we don't get the little emoji right next to the verse. You know what I mean? Oh, that's a sad thing. You know what I mean? Oh, that's a serious note. You know what I mean? You got to kind of go through there, and sometimes you just got to take it for what the Lord says. So let's pray, and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Father, pray for Amy's dad, Lord, that you heal him up. And pray for Amy as well. Father, pray for our pastor as well, Lord, that you heal him up. Lord, may he get those pain medications. Lord, may we just rejoice when he gets home. Lord, may we see him here this next Sunday. Father, pray now for this time, Lord, just the power to preach, Lord, and just to, Lord, Lord, that I wouldn't say anything wrong, Lord, that, Lord, these things that have been funny to me, Lord, these corrections you've made in my life, Lord, the comforts that you've brought to me, Lord, and just, Lord, even the conviction of your holy scriptures, Lord, would just be transferred to these people's hearts. Father, I pray you get all the honor and all the glory, Lord, that we just have a zeal, all the much more to read your word, Lord, and just receive it and grow. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter number 17, and this is Abraham and Sarah. And it says, verse number 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? These are the original laughers of God. You know what I mean? And it doesn't make sense to us. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not going to call out anybody. If we looked around at our elderly people in this church and said, well, my wife's pregnant. You're like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't really, it still doesn't make sense. But it's understandable that he laughed. Look at Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 1. It said, and the Lord appeared unto him. I mean, a lot of these times, it's just said that Sarah laughed.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard more than anything. Sarah's the one that laughed. No. They both laughed. They're both in this boat together.
Yeah.
I mean, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, 18 verse number 1, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them and from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not by, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, that ye, after that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. I mean, he got to make the Lord a meal. Mm-hmm. Not too many people got to do that. And Abraham hastened in the tent unto Sarah, and said, make thee ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran out unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man, and he hasted it and to dress it. And he took butter and milk into the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And she said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. That proves right there how good women's hearing is. Amen. Now, hey, but God, you're going to find out God can hear your heart. You know what I mean? He got a little better hearing, but not better than Abraham. You know, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Mm-hmm. And at that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid, and said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, so they both have their moments of doubt. And we've all been in that same boat, you know what I mean? Where you're like, man, how is the Lord going to do this? I mean, you all prayed for my calf, which I thought was silly. And none of you got to really see my calf, but that thing was deader than dead. But it's aliver than life, you know what I mean? Because you all prayed for it. It just didn't make sense to me. But is anything too hard for the Lord? Look at. I'd like to point this out just as a word. We'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. I pray this encourage you. I mean, they're doubting God. We've all been there. They're doubting God, but yet in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 8, they're mentioning the hall of fame, the hall of fame of faith. Yeah. Amen. It says, by faith Abraham, Hebrews chapter number 11 and in verse number 8, says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. That's a key word there, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So I'd like to point out, just even in their times of doubt and in this laughing thing, that they are recorded for having that faith. Yeah. I mean, that's encouraging to me. Because I know before, I mean, I've laughed at God's word. Turn over there to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. This is 1 Samuel chapter 18, and I will add, 1 Samuel chapter 18 is not a laughing passage. Matter of fact, if you was to, there are some passages that are funny, and we will get to those, but I remember when the Lord corrected me in something. This was one of them. 1 Samuel chapter 18, and in verse number 20. It says, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give her that she may be a snare to him. Now I mentioned this in passing last Sunday. Psycho Saul. Saul the psychopath. Be a snare to him, and that in the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, if the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul took him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. David's like, can I still do that? Is that offer still going on right now? He's like, man, yeah, this ain't a light thing in my eyes. Therefore David arose and went, and he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal's daughter to wife. Now, if there is a funny verse, it's this next verse. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. I mean, that's pretty serious. And that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. You know, this is not a funny story. By the way, God's word is not perverted. This is not a perverted story.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. But I remember, I mean, you can read this, and obviously Saul is trying to kill David.
Right.
And it's obvious that David is trying to please Saul. And I remember when we was, this was a couple years ago, when I was going through 1 Samuel, and I read this story, and I'm laying on my bed, and I had my Sarah, and I had my Abraham moment. And I'm just sitting there laying on the bed, and I said, why is this story even here, Lord? You know what I mean? I'm just like, man, what in the world? You know what I mean? And I'll tell you what. If you're wanting with a pure heart and you want to know an answer, the Holy Spirit's going to give you an answer.
Amen.
The thing is, are you willing to receive that correction?
Right.
And I was. And the Holy Spirit leaned in and says, you know what? Some people got more faith than others. I said, Faith is something that's measured.
Yes.
We read a whole bunch of missionary stories right here. Can I tell you, I don't have the faith to go to China?
Right.
It's something that's measured. It's a calling also, by the way. Missionaries go there, and these stories we hear, and the illnesses and death. And you know why they do it? Because it didn't seemeth to be a light thing to please the king.
Right.
Is it a light thing to please the king? Have you ever went out, Mr. Mike Nemeth, and risked your life for the gospel of Jesus Christ to please the king? I said, oh, what was me?
Yeah.
Like I said, the word of God's not perverted. Mm-hmm. It's not perverted. Some people will do in life what's just expected of them. Some people just get 100 of them. But some people are going to do above and beyond what's expected of them. Needless to say, I was a little bit convicted after asking the Lord that question. Oh, that's why you put that in there. Amen. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 17. That's a lesson I learned from laughing. 1 Kings chapter 17. I think this was probably, now this one's, I think, legitimately funny. There's probably going to be some women in here that don't think that's funny. But, 1 Kings chapter number 17. Elijah, if you know anything about Elijah, Elijah is salty.
Yes.
Elisha. He is just a salty individual. He is a man's man, without question about it. I mean, he's just he's black and white. He's salt, you know what I mean? 1 Kings chapter number 17, there's a famine here. In verse number 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And we know that by James chapter 15, he prayed that rain didn't come for 3.5 years. So Elisha's standing here. He's by this creek. The ravens and the Lord, the ravens and the birds fed him evening and night in verse number 6. And it says it came to pass in verse number 7 that the brook dried up. Well, the Lord's going to send him over to this lady's house in verse number 8 through 12, right? Because the brook's dried up. There's no more food. Everything is gone. So he sends him over to this lady's house. And the famine is so bad that we find out how bad it is in verse number 12. But we'll start reading in verse number 8. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going down to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, nothing in that verse is funny.
That's right.
But when you read Elijah, I mean, Elijah's next words are, and Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, but go and do as thou hast said, but make me first thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and for thy son." Now, I can see some men kind of smiling, and there is probably not one woman in here that is smiling right now. Thank you. You are actually smiling. But once again, I can remember being on my bed, and I still read this and laugh, and I don't know if it's an appropriate laugh or it is what it is. You know what I mean? But I'm sitting there reading this on my bed. My wife's reading our Bible, and my wife kind of looks over at me, and I'm kind of snickering, and she says, "What's so funny?" And I said, listen to this. This is how bad this famine's going on, that this lady is going to gather two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and then she's going to go die. And I said, this is what Elijah says. Elijah says, "Fear not, but make me first a little cake." And I said, I looked over at my wife, and I said, "Who says that?" And my wife, it was like she was waiting her whole life for me to ask that question. She goes, "A man says that." And I said, "Yeah, you're right." But you know what I mean? What's for dinner? What we got to eat? the lesson is, though, is you know what? Verse number 14. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Look at verse number 15. What'd she do? Yes, she went and did. She obeyed. That's a tough thing.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put your faith and get me that little bread first, lady. According to the saying of Elijah, she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which spake by Elisha. You know what? She obeyed and went. She obeyed the man of God in verse 17, and she ultimately obeyed the word of God in verse number 16 that Elisha spake. That's what she obeyed. She obeyed the Lord. Well, what happens if she doesn't obey? She dies, is correct. But she obeyed and she received her daily bread. It always puts a smile on my face. I always, because the cruise never failed and the barrel never, I always kind of imagine the kid going in and kind of
every morning just like, "Yeah, it is in there. What in the world?" You know?
That's how I always imagine it. I'm pretty sure that happened at least once. You know, just being a kid. I always thought that was kind of funny. But obey him. She obeyed the Lord. Turn over there to 1 Kings chapter 18. Lessons on laughing. 1 Kings chapter 18. This passage has been preached a bunch of times. To me, I mean, like I said, you can't get away from Elijah and his saltiness and his dry sense of humor, so to speak. This is probably, to me, one of the funniest passages in Scripture. I mean, when I penciled this all down on, I came up with about 15 passages in Scripture that I thought were just hilarious. I only got 5 written down, so it's good. You know, we're going to try to finish on time. You know, but God's got a sense of humor.
Amen.
And God uses people with a sense of humor.
Amen.
And He lets it come through in Scripture.
Yeah.
1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 17. Says, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? I mean, that's funny in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He said, because they've been looking for him in verse 10. It says in verse number 10, it says that this is between Obadiah and Elijah. He says, man, we was looking everywhere for you. We took a vow. And as the Lord liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither thy Lord hath not seen nor seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, we took an oath of the kingdom of nation that they found thee not. Said, man, we've looked high and low for you, and we never found you. And all of a sudden, he goes, well, you better go tell Ahab I'm coming. So he goes, all right. And he obeys, and he goes down there, and he tells Ahab, Elijah's coming. And as soon as Ahab sees Elijah, you're the one that's doing all this. You're the reason there's no rain. You're the one that's troubling Israel. I mean... And he answers, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450 of the prophets of the groves, 400 which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came and all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I imagine when he said that, it was pretty convicting. They're like, oh, okay. Then said Elijah unto the people, I remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So between verses 18 and verses 24, you have this contest. You have this challenge. And Elisha lays out the rules and the regulations of whose God is alive. And the God that answers by fire, he's going to be the one that's God. And the prophets of Baal said, man, it's well spoken. That's a good idea. I'm all for that. Sounds good. Verse number 25 and 6. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose you 1 bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given to them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Verse number 27, it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Now this is funny.
Yeah, good.
What's even more funny is you know, where is the fire supposed to fall? In verse number 32, and this is Elijah with the stones. This is Elijah building the altar. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar that could contain 2 measures of seed, and he put the wood in order and put the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood, right? So the fire is going to come down and hit the altar. Right. Are we all in agreement?
Right.
Are we all in agreement? Verse number 26. And they took the bullock which was given to them, and they dressed it and called on morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the what?
Altar.
Which was made. And Elijah mocked him. So here's Elijah. I mean, just, the Lord's going to answer by fire up here, okay? And all the prophets are there, right? And they took this, and then they realized, you know what? Hey, wait, why are you guys leaping on the altar? Isn't that where your God is supposed to be setting the fire? It's like, he's walking around. Look at these guys, you know?
Right.
And he's mocked them. And I'm all for it. They don't believe it.
Right.
If you believe God, if I believe God was going to strike fire right down here, I can tell you right now, I'm going to stand in the back room back there.
That's right.
I'm not getting burnt. Now, I mean, this is funny.
Yeah.
I mean, and he mocked him and said, cry aloud, for he is God. He said, man, I know it's not going to happen, but this is funny. For he is God, either he is talking or is he pursuing or he's on a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and he must be awaked. I'm like, what's, you know what I mean? Is that right?
Right.
And he's making fun of him. It's funny. What's not funny is verse 28, these people took it so seriously, they started cutting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you get into that false doctrine, devil worshiping stuff. That all goes right in that wrong,
yeah,
wrong spirit stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the lesson. Why do you mock them? Because they're false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
What was Elijah's heart in the matter? Verse number 30, and Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord which was broken. They got to see him repair that altar. He took the 12 barrels in verse number 33 and the 12 stones, rebuilt that altar. Verse number 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord of God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God of Israel, and that I am a servant, and I have done all these things that word. You know what he's telling these people? He says, you know what? I'm not a false prophet like these other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be known now, Lord, that your word is coming through me.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the meat and potatoes of it. Verse number 37. Mm-hmm. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I mean, is anything too hard for the Lord? I do like this, though. This is kind of, I don't know how this all played out. It's kind of funny to imagine. Verse number 39, and all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And then you look at verse number 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound and of abundance of rain. I don't know how that happened, but the Bible says that he fell down. Everybody's down on their faces. That includes Ahab, because Elijah walked up to Ahab, and he says, get up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of an abundance of rain. Verse number 42. So Ahab went up and eaten drink. I don't know why I find that funny. But let me say this. Is that not God's grace?
Yeah.
Is that not God's grace in Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not God's love in Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not that everybody's just scared? Oh, I mean, the fire of the Lord came down. Boof! Wiped out the rocks, the bullets, everything. The 12 barrels of water, everything's gone. And Elijah comes over and goes, get up. It's time to eat and drink. And he's like, oh man, there's some great words right there. You darn, yep, I'm over here. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure Jezebel, just by knowing Jezebel, didn't pack him a brown bag. I'm pretty sure there was probably some, I don't know if there was a table over there or some buffet. He's over there, oh, praise God, it's some good food right now. Eating some food. Ahab's a great. I was talking about this name. I don't know if there's another person in Scripture that just Lord in the Old Testament that the Lord showed more grace to than Ahab.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that right now, man. Those are some great words to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You fear for your life. And it's funny to imagine, like it's funny to imagine when you're on this side.
Sure.
You know, I'm not Ahab going through it. It's pretty funny. You know what I mean? But anyhow. So I know what you're thinking now. Is it okay to mock somebody? I'm glad you asked. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. Is it okay to mock someone?
No.
2 Kings chapter 2. And verse number 23. Is it okay to mock somebody? And he went up from thence, this is Elisha, and he went up from thence unto Bethel, and he was going up by the way. There came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And they came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. So is it okay to mock someone? I'm going to say you better use discretion. You better use some discretion. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 12 says, "Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man, rather than a fool in his folly." That's a violent verse. I'm going to read it again. Proverbs 17, 12, "Let a bear robbed of her whelps." You know what that means? Meet a man. Let a mama bear that just got her cubs taken from her meet a man. Rather than a fool, rather than a person in his folly, rather than a fool, a non-believer in his folly. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a better outcome in the end.
Yeah.
I think these kids learned something that day. They probably got a little bit shaped up after that. Proverbs chapter 27, 22 says, "Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him." Right? I mean, that's where we get these sayings, these songs even. If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've seen this little short video. This guy riding a motorcycle, bam, smacks a tree, and they're playing that song, you know. Just. Or you get these sayings, these worldly sayings, "You can't fix stupid." "Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle." I mean, do we get, that's that little bowl, you know, that little handle, and you just start grinding them. It says you can grind them all you want. He's still going to be a fool in the end.
Yeah.
But then I started looking at it, Brother Dan. And it says, "Though thou shouldest," what? "Bray." What makes a bray sound?
Jackass.
A donkey. A jackass is correct. A mule. And then I started to think, you know what? Is it okay to mock someone? Maybe you shouldn't be a jackass. Meow! Meow! How many times I told y'all? Don't be a donkey.
Right.
Don't be stubborn as a mule. Should you mock somebody? Turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. I think this sums it up. Some people would say this is a contradiction in Scripture. I would say you're wrong. Proverbs chapter 26, and verse number 4 and 5. Says, "Answer not a fool," verse number 4, "answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Verse number 5, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." Should you mock somebody? Better have some discretion in it.
That's right.
Better know when to open your mouth and know when to keep it shut. Should you mock somebody for being bald? Probably not. But if some guy's going to stand up there on his soapbox, you know, and preach evolution, and a duck-billed platypus comes out, I say let him have it. You're free game, buddy. I'm gonna get you. Amen. But you got to have the right heart in it.
Yeah.
That's what Elijah's was, that they may turn their hearts back to the Lord.
Right.
I'm not going to mock you because I want to be right. I want to mock you because I want you to see the Lord. You want to see the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We'll close with this one. Luke chapter 24. Lessons on laughing. Luke chapter 24. This is after the crucifixion. This is Luke chapter number 24, verse number 13. It says, "And behold, two of the men went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Now, I mean, you got to notice that. That they talked together and they reasoned and they communed together and Jesus drew near. You can't miss that. Because so many, especially in our circle, so to speak, or our stamp, whatever we want to call it, we like to argue, debate. And I think that just pushes the Lord away. But when you commune together and reason with the Lord, as we've seen so many times over and over in Scripture, even like with Moses, Moses communed together and reasoned with God. Exodus chapter number 32. And he changed the Lord's mind. Abraham communed and reasoned with him in Genesis chapter number 18, verses 24 through 32, over his family, Lot, that was over there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord spared him. We think where Elijah communed and reasoned with the Lord in a cave when he was lonely, when he was scared, when he was depressed. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord just told him, "Hey man, go back out there and do my will." And he did. But you see, God's concerned about these two. And he cares that they're sad. And you know what? And he draws near to help them. I think it's important to say that. Because people are sad, and we can be sad, and the Lord will draw near to us in those times. Yes. Amen. And that's what the Lord does here. But nevertheless, this is still kind of funny.
It is. It is.
Because in 16 through 19, this is kind of a funny scenario. It says in verse number 15, it says, "And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him." So they don't know it's the Lord. Mm-hmm. "And he said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days?" I mean, verse number 18 is borderline mockery. Like, where have you been? You never heard of Jesus?
Yeah.
Borderline sarcastic.
Yeah.
But the whole scenario is pretty funny. And this guy tells him. He tells him the things that are troubling him. He tells him the things that are sad. He says, "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found him not, his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And of certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found, even if it was so as the woman had said, but him they saw not." I mean, he tells them those things. And verse number 25 through 27 is not really a funny verse. He said unto them, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scripture, the things concerning himself." I mean, these guys are sad. These guys didn't think what happened. They thought something more was going to happen. And it didn't happen the way they thought it was going to. And they're sad. And you know what Jesus replies with? "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the scriptures have spoken." Now right there, everybody, when the Lord goes to correct you, how are you going to respond to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same with me when I was on my bed and I said, "Lord, why
Why you put this in there?
Okay. And you got a choice. I'm sad. You just called me a fool. And now that you call me a fool, I went from Genesis all the way through Malachi. And let you know all the things concerning myself. That's a lot of scripture, by the way. Well, would to God that we'd all have this attitude that they have in verses number 28 through 29. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And that's a good attitude. That's a good attitude in this scenario. You know, Jesus says, you know what? I was going to go, you know, see you guys later. I'm going to take off now. I'm going to go. I got to get going down here. And they're like, no. The day's far spent. Come on. You hang out with us. Hang out with us. We want to talk some more about the Bible. Come on.
Yep.
Why don't you come over here? We're going to talk about the Bible. Tell us some more things.
Yep.
What about that verse in Malachi? Can you expound on that a little bit further? Didn't what about Isaiah? Come on. Expound a little bit more. Please. It came to pass as he sat and meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And they vanished out of their sight. Can I ask you today in closing, do you know him? Do you know him? Has there been a time where you opened up your Bible and you're saved, you're a born again Christian? And those scriptures came alive and they touched your heart. Mm-hmm. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture. I'm saying, do you know him? Are we trusting on him? How's your heart when you're reading the scriptures? Does he touch you? Are we willing to be corrected? Are we comforted when we're reading? Is it comforting communing with God? Or maybe that's something that's been missing. Is it a light thing for you to please the King? Maybe somebody in here today, you say, you know what, I'm not saved. You know, if you're not saved, it's not a laughing matter. And it's not a light thing. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. No, if you're going to get saved, you got to realize that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins. I read that wrong. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Those scripture says Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. And He died, He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us up there. And we can call upon Him to save you. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you willing to do that today? How's your Bible reading? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your scriptures, Lord, and how much they've touched my heart. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit go, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. Lord, I pray if you touch somebody's heart today, Lord, that they would just respond with that comfort, Lord, that conviction, Lord, that correction. Lord, that we'd find you in those pages, we'd find you in our walk, Lord, we'd find you in our daily life. Father, I pray today if there's one here that hasn't trusted you as their Savior, today would be that day. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's somebody here today, Lord, that has not trusted Jesus as their Savior, would you just slip up your hand? If you're a girl, we got somebody that could show you. If you're a guy, we could have somebody else show you through the Scriptures. Amen. See, that's all Christians today. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this book. We thank you for your love that you have for us. Thank you for your correction. I pray, Lord, you just continue to do a work in our hearts, Lord, as we sing to you in Jesus' name. Amen.